Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI for this Friday, February the 15th, 2013. You know, the year of the snake is supposed to be a really weird, unpredictable year. Started off with that unexpected news about the pontiff in Rome. Then we had that weird development with the meteorite today, early this morning in Russia. And then at this hour, an asteroid, I think within minutes of right now, is making its closest encounter with Earth, kind of the closest recorded near miss at like 17,000 miles. Still plenty of breathing room, but wow, really weird, off to a strange year, aren't we? I am Bill Buckmaster. Hope you're having a good day. Looking forward to a great weekend. We're live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream our show, so you can hear it at buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com. And then within about an hour of its conclusion, we post to three different websites. My site, buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, the Gannett Corporation's site, and TucsonSentinel.com. Editor-publisher Dylan Smith, who will be joining us in about a half an hour for today's Friday Reporters Roundtable. We also link up at gvnews.com. That's the homepage of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. And we also have a link on the homepage of blogforarizona.com. So we're trying to make listening to this program as convenient as possible for you on your schedule. Fridays here on the Buckmaster Show, we have a newsmaker interview. Today it's with Cam Juarez. Mr. Juarez, one of two new members of the governing board of the Tucson Unified School District, with Crystal Foster, are the two new members. Joining me in studio to question Cam Juarez, Mari Herreras, staff writer of the Tucson Weekly, and we welcome you to join in on the conversation with your question or comment for TUSD's Cam Juarez. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. Mari, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
And Cam, it's always good to see you.
You as well, Bill.
I want to begin with this budget deficit. Closing 11 schools would save, would generate about a little over $4 million in annual savings. Coming into this year, the deficit was $17 million. That means there's more than $12 million in cuts still to be made. What is the thinking of where that money is going to come from?
You know, we had a very interesting and somewhat contentious discussion on Tuesday night at our board meeting. And there's an effort to look into outsourcing some of our services. At the heart of that, I believed, was some of our blue-collar jobs, our bus drivers, our custodial workers. And I take a little bit of an issue with that, and we can get into that in a little bit. But there's a purposeful effort to be made on behalf of our administration, and they're looking into that. Our CFO is looking into where else we can shave a little bit off, and they're working diligently to try to find some of that money, I would think, I hope as well. And I think that's the case. But certainly where we're at right now, as of Tuesday's vote, we've postponed looking at outsourcing. I'd like to think that we wouldn't even have to look at outsourcing. Nationally, the trend and almost all the information that I looked at says that outsourcing won't help specifically here, more so because there's a social cost to looking at outsourcing our TUSD employees, some of these folks that have been with the district for over 20 years.
Yeah, you're taking away jobs from local people.
Sure, sure.
In many cases,
and,
right?
And, you know, yeah, we're asking folks that have been with the district for, like I said, you know, over two decades to give up contributing to their retirement system. And some of these jobs certainly are for folks that, you know, didn't go to college or whatever the case is. But primarily what's at stake is when you outsource, you look at hiring companies, and companies in our country are here to make a profit. They're not here, as I said on Tuesday, out of the kindness of their heart to try to make things better for a district. They're there because they're going to make a profit. When you look at outsourcing, we need to reduce those costs And those costs are going to come from employee benefits and salaries.
1209 on the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday Focus, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment about TUSD, now is your opportunity to speak with one of the board members, Cam Ores. Here's Mari Herreras of the Tucson Weekly with a question for Cam.
Cam, we talked about this when you first got in, but just the discussions on the budget, and are you guys, do you guys feel comfortable with the numbers that you've been presented by staff in terms of central administration and what areas there that we can cut and trim?
Well, as you know, these are volunteer positions, and we're not full-time employees with the district. So what time we can devote to this, and believe me, it's a lot of time. That we're devoting to this. I wouldn't say that comfortable is the best word to define how I feel right now. I'm on top of being new to board politics, board policy, even Robert's Rules of Order. I think what I'm most uncomfortable with is not knowing everything about the budget. I've just delved into it, and I've had other folks that are familiar with these types of finances to look at it with me and help me find things where I think, well, we could look at this or we could look at that. And so I don't feel comfortable as of yet with it. I would say that at this point I'm really more intrigued by some of the things that I've found. But I am not an expert when it comes to this thing. I certainly know budgets, and I know to ask certain questions. But I think we need a lot more time devoted to this, and not just the five of us, but certainly folks. I welcome the input that I'm getting from the community, because that input, I can then, you know, ask those questions, pose those questions to our administration, and that brings us to clarification on certain issues. In some cases, we get answers that we like. In some cases, we don't get answers that we like.
What if nothing's done about the budget? Could you operate with a deficit?
Absolutely not. Okay. You know, the threat of receivership is, I think, as I've said a couple times from the dais, the thing that unites us all, employee groups, employees, administration, teachers, librarians, everybody. So my hope is that we can all give a little so we can avoid receivership.
I mean, has that been talked about, bankruptcy?
You know, we have briefly, and it's just it's a bad situation all in all. TUSD is a very unique district, and certainly something that I mean, we've had our issues with the state and with the superintendent of schools, and I think we would want to stay away from that as much as possible.
Here's Mari again.
When you talked about you know, what's receivership and the budget, but I know so many people have said, can we just slow down here? Can we just take a break? I mean, can we slow down and rethink about some of the school closures? Because mm-hmm. I know Houndsteen is one that
absolutely
people really may need to take a look at.
Absolutely.
Can we do that? Can we slow down? Can we bring people right together to look at the budget?
Well, as you know, I'm one of those people that's saying, let's slow down. You know, in fact, I said that on Tuesday. Let's give our employees a little bit more time to try to come to the table and work collaboratively with our administration. I would say the same thing, and I have said the same thing about the school closures. I wasn't really crazy about the way things moved, and I think that the timetable was a little intriguing to folks, and I think we need to absolutely slow down. We've been moving in a state of crisis, and it seems to happen a lot around, you know, government agencies and jurisdictions, because we're in a really tough economy still. So we absolutely positively have to slow down. The issue with that is that we have a ticking clock, and that ticking clock is that term receivership that we talked about. We have to be very clear but also very careful about how we move forward. And one of those things that we have to do is we have to interact effectively, collaboratively with our stakeholders. And those stakeholders include our students, our parents, our families, our employees. But more importantly, I think the stakeholders that are there are the five people on that board that have a vested interest in making sure that this district functions effectively and efficiently, so that we can avoid receivership or even the threat of receivership next fiscal year.
The district has been under the DSEG order for 34 years. An op-ed piece today by Sylvia Campoy and Ruben Salter Jr., two people who've been involved with that DSEG order since its inception, had this op-ed piece and some harsh words for TUSD. TUSD has yet to remedy its disgraceful history of desegregation. That's the headline. But basically, the bottom line of the article is that They're saying TUSD's failure to honor its legal and moral commitment in the DSEG case is mirrored in other failings like student achievement and student enrollment. Your reaction? I know you hadn't had a chance yet to see the
not,
piece.
Not as of yet. I spent all morning reading it at different elementary schools as Love of Reading Week, and definitely a shout out to all the students and teachers and librarians out there. I have not had a chance to read it, but certainly I understand where Sylvia and Ruben are coming from. I certainly haven't been involved for the last 34 years, but you know, having been involved for the last 40 some days, I would say that they have my commitment as a board member. I certainly won't speak for the rest of the board, but I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of board members that want to honor not only the legal promises that are embedded in the judge's decision, and in Dr. Holly's plan, along with our community members and our stakeholders, but I certainly want to move forward in making this happen. We've got about 4 years, approximately, to make some headway with this, and I fully intend on being involved in that intimately over the next 4 years of my tenure.
This will be a good time to take a break. It is the Friday Focus interview on The Buckmaster Show. Cam Juarez is with us. When we come back on our Friday Focus, will there be a Mexican-American Studies type program at TUSD, and how is that going to look? The update on that from Cam Juarez as we continue with Buckmaster on this Friday.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's time once again for the Tucson Festival of Books.
Hi, this is Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. This literary extravaganza is unlike any other. It is 10 acres of books, authors, exhibitors, food, fun, and entertainment, and it's all free. Arizona Party Rental is a great partner for the Tucson Festival of Books.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bill. We'll see you at the Tucson Festival of Books on the U of A campus March 9th through the 10th.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Here's a notice for all you pet owners. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson wants to remind all of the pet owners that February is National Pet Dental Health Month. If you are concerned about your pet's bad breath or dental health, please come visit the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. They have a board-certified dentist at 4909 North La Cañada Drive in Tucson, 795-9955, or visit them on the web at vscot.com. We're with Cam Juarez. He is our Friday Focus interview. Cam is a new member of the TUSD Governing Board. Mari Herreras is with us, also staff writer from the Tucson Weekly. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Chuck has a question for Cam Juarez. Go ahead, Chuck.
Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Juarez.
What is
Juarez?
As a taxpayer, I've watched my property taxes go up, and a large chunk of that has gone to TUSD. Now, in light of the reduction of number of students, which is amounts to, over the past few years, that amounts to almost 23%, I find it difficult to believe that my taxes should be going up when you should. When you have less students, which require less teachers, which require less administrators, which require less buses and other services, but it doesn't seem to stop my taxes from going up. I'd just like you to comment, please.
Thank you, Chuck.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think all of our taxes have gone up. I'm a property owner, and I've seen our taxes go up as well. What I would say is that even though our student numbers have gone down, and certainly some of our teachers, our classroom sizes have also gone down. So, and you know, most people will argue that it's an effective way to teach with the smaller classrooms. But the problem is that we still have a pretty large stall, if you will, of facilities that we have to maintain. You know, i.e., why we had so many school closures. These school closures, you know, even though not everybody will agree that they want to lose their school, it's still a cost savings because we don't have to operate those facilities. Those teachers aren't automatically laid off. You know, most of these teachers are going to be moved to other facilities. Their salaries, their benefits, all that's still attached. The other issue to consider is that the state, over the last decade and even more than that, have continually reduced how much money they're contributing to public education. Arizona, as you know, is one of the lowest in the nation. So if we are in different parts of the country, for example, Connecticut or some of these other states, where the state government, through their taxes, I mean, and not to say that we're not paying into those, are offsetting some of these other costs, I'm not going to profess to you that I'm an expert in how we formulate these taxes and how that money continually comes out of our checks. I mean, I hate losing, you know, the $200, $300 that I don't get to see for my work when I do my day job. But, you know, I do like having public schools. I do like having emergency services available to us.
And you are a volunteer. You are not paid as a board member for the TUSD. You have a day job. You work for Pima County.
I do.
So, I mean, that's your paying job.
Thank you for the clarification on that. Absolutely.
There you go. Mari Hararis, go ahead.
So, Cam, you know, Mexican-American studies was a big issue when you were running for office, and it remains still a big issue for folks here in Tucson. Is Mexican-American studies going to come back to TUSD?
You know, terminology is really important in how we move forward. And one of the things that we need to clarify is that there is a state law still in place that, for all intents and purposes, outlaws these courses. Does that mean that we ignore the fact that these courses, for all intents and purposes, were very efficient and very effective in getting a certain population, certainly, but it wasn't exclusive to Mexican-American students. But this was raising some of the student achievement scores with our students. So we know it works, and that's why I'm supportive of that. I got my undergrad in MAS. I came from a very substandard, K-12 education, in my opinion, and I excelled in college through some of these courses. I graduated in May with a 3.9 GPA from the College of Architecture. These courses work, and not because I say so, but because there's studies out there that say that they work. Are these courses coming back? I would say that the MAS courses are not coming back as they were defined before. What we are doing is we are looking at multicultural education and culturally relevant education. What that means to me is that we're going to do what we set out to do when we developed these courses, which was put this kind of relevancy for our students, all students, in our coursework throughout the district. Is this going to be mandated for all of our students? Absolutely not. It's just an option for students if they prefer to learn in that kind of environment. And an environment, again, that isn't doing what the former attorney of what the current attorney general argues, that, you know, we're creating these armies of students that are going to try to take over the government. That's not necessarily the case. I now have a government a position, but that's only through education, not because I'm a general or anything in this army. I think
you're referring to Tom Horn, of course, the current attorney general and former superintendent of public instruction, who has really led the charge against Mexican American studies.
Absolutely. And if you have questions about that, you should go to his website, because all the information you need to know is there, according to him. I think there's more to it, but certainly you should go to different websites and learn really what this is about. And this is about teaching kids, all kids.
So there will be some type of kind of a hybrid course developed.
I think what's important to understand is that we're going to be looking not just at the Mexican-American experience, but we're going to be looking at, you know, within that, the African-American experience, and looking at eventually, I would imagine, Native American experience. I mean, we have those departments in place now. The idea is to try to get kids engaged in what they're reading, engaged in what they're writing about. I know, again, from personal experience, it made a huge difference in my academic achievement.
Going back to school closures, did I hear you say that it's not a done deal?
I wouldn't say that it's not a done deal. I mean, the judge has ruled, and basically his ruling didn't say very much about the school closures, other than he agreed with the recommendations from Dr. Hawley. And Dr. Hawley had submitted some basically his standing on the situation, that it wouldn't necessarily impact the desegregation order. I think the plaintiffs disagree with that. Some folks in the community disagree with that. Certainly the people that are at those schools that are being closed agree with that. In my opinion, and this is my opinion alone, not that of the board or the administration, I think it's really important to keep some of these schools open. But I would not commit to keeping the schools open if it means that we're going to lose the entire district through receivership. What I want to do is make sure that we have the money to do so. And if we can, I would love to revisit some of these schools, especially schools like Hallenstein, schools like Menlo Park, that really impact these smaller communities. But quite frankly, it's not just one student. It's not just 10 students. It's a human life that we're impacting, not just the student, but the family as a whole. This one student might be the opportunity for the entire family to break out of a cycle of poverty, or to give an opportunity to a student who otherwise doesn't do well in larger school settings You know, we made a commitment to kids during the 80s and the 90s that we would look at small school models, and that seemed to work for a lot of students. But, you know, clearly at this point, financially, everybody is tightening their belts. Until this economy gets a little better, and when our state finally starts funding public education, then we can start looking at these small school models again.
Cam Juarez, member of the TUSD Governing Board, thank you very much for coming down here and talking with us on the Buckmaster Show.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bill, and thanks to everybody out there. Happy belated Valentine's Day, and a big hug and kiss to my wife and son.
Okay, Cam. Mari Herreras will stay over with us for our Friday Reporters Roundtable, and Dylan Smith is waiting in the wings. Dylan, editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. He will join us also on the Reporters Roundtable on a Friday on the Buckmaster Show. With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Well, we've just had that close encounter with an asteroid, and as expected, NASA says it went off uneventfully. The 150-foot asteroid safely passing by Earth just a few minutes ago. At its closest point, it was about 17,000 miles out there. It's the closest approach ever for a rock of this size. Some Russians thought it was the end of the world. In fact, it was just the end of a meteor that exploded some 20 to 30 miles above the ground early this morning, that over the Ural Mountains of Russia. Planes have been shuttling more than 2,000 passengers of that damaged Carnival cruise ship to Houston. It's the final leg of their long, long journey home. On Wall Street, stocks in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's time once again for the Tucson Festival of Books.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a three-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team. They are one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bruce. We'll see you at the Tucson Festival of Books on the U of A campus, March 9th through the 10th.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Well, 36 on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. I am Bill Buckmaster. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. This is the segment we invite local journalists, and we are so glad that they take me up on my invitation to them to sound off on the week's top stories. With us today on the roundtable, Mari Herreras, who joins us from our interview with Cam Juarez. Mari is staff writer, one of the staff writers for the Tucson Weekly, and Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news source. And if you have a question or a comment about anything we will be discussing during the Reporters Roundtable, we'll put you on the air, 790-2040. Dylan, good to see you.
Great to be here.
And Mari, I'll tell you, Cam Juarez and that TUSD board, Dylan, they got their hands full. I mean, this, not only do they have just the perception in the community that it's a, how do I say this very diplomatically about TUSD?
Well, there's been a lot of controversy about
Dylan,
that of late.
A troubled district. A very troubled district.
You know, their immediate trouble is dealing with this hole in the budget, and it's something that is going to be an uphill battle to really get their budget squared away. They're going to have to do something that's going to affect somebody somewhere in some department, and you know, no matter what that is, there's going to be a fight about it. But you know, really, they don't have an option to run at a deficit. There are people at the state level who would love to come in and take them over. So
yeah, he talked about receivership a couple of times today.
Well, you know, it's not. The budget issue isn't a joke. I mean, they've got a state auditor report that said that TUSD spends more on admin than any other district in the city and less – or in the state and less on in the classroom. So, you know, those numbers are real. There's the assistant superintendent gets $149,000 a year. 75,000 of that comes from DSEG.
They have a marketing department?
They have a marketing department, yes.
Well, they need a marketing department.
They
That's a legitimate concern. They need to, you know, with charter schools, the educational system is based on competition, and to compete,
right,
you got to be able to get your word out and, you know, tell parents that, hey, we're doing this great job over at this school. Please have your kids enroll.
But we've been hearing about marketing and that using that as a tool since Fagan was superintendent,
mm-hmm,
for that short period of time.
How short was it?
That was like a year, right?
A little over a year.
Yeah. She had such great plans, as I recall, after interviewing her numerous times on TV. She was going to to really turn the culture around, Mari.
I think her she actually frightened quite a bit of few schools. But you should see, I understand her work in Colorado. Most of the schools that she's superintendent of are now going to charter. And it's really ripping that community apart in Douglas.
So. And we're going to go to the Buckmaster Show live line, and we do have an education question from Lillian. Question or comment? Go ahead, Lillian.
I really appreciate Maury's comments, and I'm kind of disappointed in your other speaker's comments about the district. The $17 million shortfall that the district faces sounds like a huge amount of money. Their total budget is $400 million. So the $17 million is a nit when you look at their total spending. Their administrative costs have gone up year after year after year, and the prior board voted a $43,000 a year pay raise for the superintendent in August of last year. That's in the face of the need to cut schools.
So, Lillian, I take it you would advocate a drastic cut to the administration.
Absolutely. We have to have a board that will actually sit down and read the budget. They don't appear to have looked at the budget. They don't appear to understand where the money's going, and it's appalling. They have lost so many students every time they close the school, and yet staff is not telling them that they lost students. They never looked at what the revenue was for the schools they're proposing to close. Wakefield, for example, produces $800,000 more in revenue a year than is spent in that school. And so Maury is asking the right questions, but I'd like to know what your other guest plans to do as far as publicizing USD's situation.
Okay, thank you, Lillian. Our other guest, Cam Juarez, was only with us for a half an hour. But Mari, go ahead.
I've talked with Lillian. I know she's been really communicative with the school board as well. Luckily, I think that there are folks like Lillian out there that are reading the budget, and those folks that newspaper people, you talk to all the time. And I think that she's right. I mean, we do need the board to sit down and look at the budget. I know they're volunteers, but they're getting presentations from staff members, and they may not be understanding all the information they're receiving. This is the critical time for the district, and she's right. This is a district with a $400 million budget. This is 3% of the budget, less than 3% of the budget that we have to cut. It would be great if we had a boot camp for them or something like that on getting everybody on board with the budget.
Well, it certainly doesn't send the right signal, I would say, when people in administrative positions are getting big pay raises. But that's just a drop in the bucket when you look at $17 million as opposed to, $40,000 here or even $100,000 there. And really, the admin budget for TUSD isn't just people down at 1010 who sit in air-conditioned offices. Admin includes all the support services that are outside the classroom. People who clean bathrooms are in the admin budget. Bus drivers are in the admin budget. Librarians and school counselors. And everybody who is not directly a classroom teacher
is in the admin pool budget. Yeah.
So does the fact that TUSD has a higher admin budget, is that a bad thing or is it a good thing, and do they offer better support?
I guess that's sort of an open question. I guess if you're looking at the state auditor's report that's saying, look, this is a school district out of all the schools in the state that has the highest admin budget and the least amount going in the classroom, then that alone I think should make us think, okay, you're right about all those things, all the monies are all coming from the admin, but something's amiss here, no?
Yeah. Well, my wife used to be a teacher, and I would sort of fall on the side that there are a lot of paper pushers in offices who will get paid too much. That's just sort of my natural instinct going off of the tales that I heard. But, really, you got to, beyond knee-jerk responses like that one of mine, you got to dig into things and determine, what's really the best for the kids in the classroom.
790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show live line. Let's go now to Jim Kelly. Jim would like to weigh in on the discussion. Go ahead, Jim. You're with Dylan and Mari and Bill.
Hey, Mari. Hi, Dylan. And Bill, thanks for letting me on again.
Go ahead.
Listen, one of the things I found interesting that Cam Moore has said was that, private companies are for-profit only. Like, that's something that's supposed to be bad. The reality of it is, without profit, there's no tax base. Without a tax base, there's not going to be a TUSD. And none of these problems are going to be solved until they start solving not only their revenue stream, but how they spend their money. And I see absolutely nothing wrong with outsourcing. You know, 70, if they can find it in the phone book, it needs to be outsourced, basically. Any service that they do, if it's in the phone book, outsource it. Because the pension liability alone is going to destroy this district.
Okay, Jim Kelly, thank you very much.
There are areas of outsourcing, Jim, I tell you, that I would completely disagree with you on. And one is one that TUSD already has a relationship with, that where they outsource many people in our schools that work with special ed students, doing OT or speech pathologists right now. Those are through a company outside of Phoenix. And right now I understand that they're furthering that and doing more outsourcing with folks in special ed, with EIS aides and other staffers and teachers. I think we have to draw the line somewhere on in terms of outsourcing. And sure, you know, I don't know if I'm going to go through the rule of thumb if it's in the phone book myself.
Well, Jim's argument only holds up if you're talking about a local company.
Yeah.
If you're talking about a national company where the profits get shipped out of town rather than
if
staying
you're
here
outsource,
in Tucson,
I would prefer it would be local.
What
people.
You're doing is you're letting a company take money out of the community rather than having that money continue to circulate in Tucson.
And Lillian, I'm going to go back to you. Lillian has another quick comment, but I want to really move on. Go ahead, Lillian.
Speaker was incorrect when he said custodians and all the people outside the classroom are charged to administration. Those people are not charged to administration at all. That it's only the principals and assistant principals who are charged to administration, and the senior administrators in the district, many of them are charged as instructional support.
Where are the custodians? Where do they fall in? And
they come under operations. All the mechanics and bus drivers are operations. They're not charged to administration at all.
Okay. Okay, Lillian, thank you very much. And I want to quickly move on. It's been a busy news week. Governor tours the border again. Meanwhile, the Arizona Republic editorial urging the governor to, come on, get with the program on immigration reform. The editor is saying she is stuck in a 2010, put this in parentheses, 1070 time warp. Dylan?
Well, that's still seems to be quite popular with a certain segment of Brewer's base, and that's why she's sticking with that kind of rhetoric.
Sticking with her base, right?
You know, I don't know what sort of insights one can draw if with a short helicopter ride over the border, and that's not where I would, you know, draw my policy conclusions from. But she did come down to southern Arizona and meet with some ranchers and some other folks as well and talk to them this week.
Speaking of the governor, Republicans like the very – well, Adam Quasman, who considers himself a conservative from District 11, he was on our program this week, Murray, and he says the governor's budget's far too optimistic on revenue projections, and he also says the Medicaid expansion being pushed by the governor is in trouble.
Yeah, well, I think it's a similar base, you know, that would fall in the border category as well. But I think we talked about this last time I was on, you know, that one of the things that she said in her the State of the State address was about hospitals and maintaining care and making sure those jobs are there and that those hospitals remain open. And those folks were worried and rightfully so when this first came about, when Arizona changed its policy. And I think that they've formulated a pretty strong lobby effort in making sure that the governor is optimistic when it comes to Medicaid.
I'm telling you, Dylan, the hospital community and the business community will be very, very upset if this is blocked by the lawmakers.
Well, the federal government's almost offering the state free money to expand access, and there are a certain segment of the Republican Party that is so opposed to Medicare that they want to say no to that, even though it will – you know, bring a lot of money into hospitals that are pretty strapped right mm-hmm. now.
Expanding access that was a voter initiative to begin with, you know. So, anyway.
Mari Herreras from the Tucson Weekly, Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. A former regent, Fred Duvall, has formed an exploratory committee to run for governor in 2014. He's the former Arizona Board of Regents chairman, a gentleman, Dylan, that I interviewed numerous times back with the TV show, and I've always been pretty impressed with this guy. He's been very involved with Democratic politics, and it's sort of a one step in the right direction he sees toward running, but I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. Well, he's running.
Fred Duvall's been getting his ducks in the row to run for governor for at least a year and a half now, so he's in, definitely.
And you have...
And I think he's got a pretty broad base of support throughout the state in the Democratic Party, and it'll be, I think, a rather uphill battle for anybody else to try and get that nomination.
Well, it'd be interesting to see. Here we are in what? We've just had Valentine's Day in 2013, and we're talking about a primary election for governor that's end of August of 2014.
Also, I'm just feeling like we're finally recovering from elections this last time around.
Yeah, and also being talked about Representative Chad Campbell, former Surgeon General Richard Carmona, and Phoenix Mayor Greg Stanton on the Democratic side, and of course Doug Ducey, the treasurer, and Ken Bennett on the Republican side, Secretary of State on the Republican side, and even Tom Horn's name.
Strikes me as rather unlikely. There are a lot of people
shall
on the Republican side who just don't want to open
shall
up
we
that
say
can of worms.
Long shot. That's
I,
the
I think so.
Reporters Roundtable on this Friday. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is next.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Karen, could you run to the supply closet for some trophy polish, please?
Do we have trophy polish?
Well, we better find out. See, I just called Cox Business to give our company faster internet and great phone service.
Oh, good.
They've got a J.D. Power and Associates Award, Karen, and they're going to be here any minute.
So you think they bring the award with them wherever they go?
Put it this way. If you were ranked highest in customer satisfaction, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I just want to be prepared, Karen. I just want to be prepared.
Shine up your business with Cox Business. Ranked highest in customer satisfaction among data service providers for small and mid-sized businesses. Power your office in Phoenix with Cox Business and take advantage of our special offer. Bundle Cox Business internet and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today. It just makes sense. Visit coxbusiness.com for offer details. Offer valid until April 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Other restrictions apply. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com.
Time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. So much to do in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, sponsoring today's Weekend Watch, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. I strongly suggest a visit over to Silver to hike along the Continental Divide Trail. Find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. By the way, there are plenty of great places to stay, including Bear Mountain Lodge, Wilderness Lodge, and Spirit Canyon Lodge. Check out Silver City. It's time for us to check out the man about town, and he is Matt Russell, award-winning publicist with Russell Public Communication and Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist. And he probably is on his way out to have a beautiful lunch after closing up Russell Public Communication a little early today.
I tell you, Bill, you know me all too well. I think my weekend is starting at about Thursday at noon these days.
Are you? I mean, it's never too early, is it, for a Matt Russell happy hour?
I mean, that's what I live for, Bill Buckmaster.
Where are we going for happy hour, buddy?
Well, the fans of El Charro Cafe over on Broadway and Wilmette, Bill, should they really include that lounge in their happy hour plans today, because that location is going to be shut down in a week or so to make way for another big box store in town. No word yet on a relocation, so get over there while you still can to enjoy some of these great happy hour specials, premium tequilas. I think one of the biggest cheese crisps in town, which is big enough to earn my respect. Great salsa guacamole. Weather is going to be ideal for a happy hour out on the patio today, El Charro style. I'm starving.
Yeah, was that an El Charro quesadilla that was so big that was seen over Russia earlier today?
It did some damage to a number of hundred people over there.
You know, we have so many wonderful restaurants. It seems like there's another opening almost every weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. The new one in town, Bill, is the old China Thai space on 6502 East Tancredi. It's called Sandwiches, and it really appears to have taken the art of sandwichery to a new level. Their bold menu of burgers and sandwiches is really attracting a lot of attention. I like what I hear about the firemen, which includes pepper jack cheese, jalapenos, pepperoncinis, capicola salami. I mean, that's a major three-alarm fire on a burger. And I think it's the perfect place for a sandwich and a cold beverage this weekend. But, Bill, if you're going to go for that burger this weekend, you better bring a fire extinguisher. This stuff is on fire.
Hey, Matt, you could always be one of those, what are they, those fire eaters that entertain traffic during a red light? Arizona Renaissance Festival. There are some Renaissance Festival fans who will travel far and wide to see one of these things.
I love it. And right up on Apache Junction, right between Tucson and Phoenix, is the annual Arizona Renaissance Festival. Starts tomorrow, and it's going to run every weekend through March. And this annual event, Bill, is going to transform Apache Junction to a medieval amusement park, and there's going to be a 12-stage theater and a circus act and jousting tournaments, and of course, they're going to be serving up these great beverages like the medieval margaritas, but it's those ginormous turkey legs that I love to hear about. It's like the scene from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Matt Russell, always a pleasure. We'll read about you in Inside Tucson Business, the issue, the new issue, out today, and we always look forward to your reports. Have a great weekend.
You do the same, Bill. Thanks.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied to all of the Buckmaster Show in-studio guests, provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. To all of our friends at Culligan, thank you. Your water, it simply tastes better. Love the Culligan water. The Buckmaster Show is a production of yours truly, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, on behalf of our team, my lovely and talented, she is really the best radio producer anyone could ever wish to have, Rosemary Brad. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend, and telling you about tomorrow, Phil Cedar will have the gardening show from 7 to 8, and then Phil's normal time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, 3 to 4, he's turned over to the Sal Point Fine Arts Group. They're going to do a radio play, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. You won't want to miss it. Have yourself a great weekend.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.